Any lions, right? The Wizard of Oz. Courage. Reminder every week, I'm going to just start with this. Write a thought down today, whatever it is, on your phone, in a book. Write something down today. Already be listening for something that just catches your heart, that speaks to you in what you're going through in your life. And it helps to be intentional about listening to God. Our theme in 2017, Rejoice, God is on the move. We're going to do that. We're going to rejoice no matter what. And we've been studying about that. And ultimately, rejoicing in all situations, all circumstances, the good and the bad, is about faith. The only reason we can rejoice at any moment in life is because our faith is in Jesus Christ and His saving power, and the fact that all is okay when we're with Him. And that's, we can rejoice. And a few weeks back, we studied, Pastor Blaine came and studied about abundant timing, abundant wisdom, and abundant courage. And we've kind of been building off of that the last few weeks. And we talked about abundant timing a few weeks ago, being at the right place at the right time. Just a quick little recap. In order to be in the right place at the right time, we got to be about God's business in our lives. Amen? We have to have that relationship with God. We have to trust and obey Him no matter what we're going through. And we have to repent and move on. Man, those are very critical things that Christians have to be doing in order to be at the right place at the right time. See, we don't want to miss it. God has a tremendous plan for your life. And we don't want to be so busy like the children of Israel doing their own things that they just wandered. You know, if we're going to live this Christian life, let's live it in victory. Amen. Amen? Not in wandering, not in just getting by, but in victory. You can have victory and not have a lot of money. You can have victory, and what the world considers to be success is not what God considers to be success. See, trusting, obeying, repenting and moving on, all these things, a relationship with God, all these things are what needs to be in our hearts. We want to get this right. We want to move in the right direction as Christians, and then we'll be at the right place at the right time. And we'll see God's hand move. The opposite is true. If you don't have a daily walk with God, daily relationship of praying and seeking Him, a daily just trusting and obeying, if you're the kind that as soon as something goes wrong, you're just like, oh, forget it. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like I'm just going to get over here in the corner and hide. And or if we just can't get over some of our past sins, we're not going to be in the right place at the right time. So my prayer, my hope is that no matter what you're like, nobody's perfect, but just a heart determination to get it right. A heart determination to put God first in every area of our lives. Trust and obey. The truth about trusting and obeying is that it takes courage to trust and obey God. It is easy to say the words trust and obey, but in order to trust and obey God and His Word, it does take courage. I want to get into that a little bit about courage. Like learning how to ride a bike. At some point, when the training wheels have to come off. And at that point, we got to trust and obey a few things. Obey in this way. We got to obey what our parents told us, right? Pedal. Got to obey that. Because if you don't obey that, when you get on the bike, boom, you'll just fall, right? We got to obey that. And we also have to trust the laws of physics that when I start pedaling, that I can stay up. That my pedaling does that. We trust it. We have to understand the laws of gravity. Well, we don't have to understand it, but we have to trust it by faith that I will stay up when I start pedaling. Trusting and obeying God at some point requires us to take off the training wheels and trust God's word in every area of our life. And that's kind of the message that this church, that God is doing with us, is that we need to trust and obey Him in all areas of our life. It takes courage, people of courage, to do that. If you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 to start. 1 Chronicles. Now that one is kind of in the beginning. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Judges. Then you get into Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's a pretty strong scripture. And I think you can put, any one of us here today can put our names in here. I don't want to start mentioning names because people sometimes they get offended when I mention names. But you can put your name in here and just read this. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Just put your name there. So and so. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. It's a very, very strong scripture. You should underline it, memorize it, because when you're going through stuff in life, this is a reminder to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. David was talking to his son about courage. And this is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, if you turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I love this scripture, one of my favorite scriptures. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who's done a good work will perform it until the day Jesus Christ. Be confident of this very thing. God will complete it. He will complete it. You know, you may be wondering sometimes why when you start wavering and you go through some stuff in life and your faith kind of takes a hit, and then why doesn't God just let me? He keeps pursuing me, because God is faithful and He loves you and He wants to complete the work that He has for you. So that's without question. But God's people have to become courageous and trust Him. Trust and obey. I went to the dictionary, and now you don't have to pull out Webster's anymore. You pull out Google, right? You Google it. And so I went to the Google. Is that what he's called? The Google? I don't know what he's called. I went to Google and I typed in courage, and these are the two things that came out. It said, number one, ability to do something that frightens you. Wow. Christians need to be courageous. It could be scary sometimes allowing God to enter the inner part of your heart, can it? The secrets, the tough things. But Christians who are courageous, they see God move. Christians that are courageous, who are not afraid to surrender it all to God, they will see the hand of God intercede on their behalf. And number two, so that was number one, ability to do something that frightens you. Number two, strength in the face of pain and grief. Takes courage to have strength in the face of pain and grief. You know, when a family is going through a loss, and somebody in the family has to show strength in pain and grief. That's courage. You know, last week, if you can find our website, we're going to show the website here. But last week, I think I heard one of the most courageous, my wife, I'm so proud of her. One of the most courageous just things in her life. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you need to go online to hccdonna, I think that's what it is, .org. And I think it's there, right? The first one there? Right there it says, choose your path. If you didn't hear that last week, you need to go make time, 30 minutes or, and just listen. One of the most courageous acts I've ever seen, and just courage. And it meets number two definition, strength in the face of pain and grief. And it also fits number one, the ability to do something that frightens one. It takes courage to share from your heart secrets of the past and the hurts of the past. But the act of this courage set Alyssa free, and because of her courage, others were set free. Amen? Think of that in the terms of multiplication. If every one of us had the ounce of courage that we saw last week to tell you what hurts and not worry and care about it because there was a bigger picture, if all of us lived our life that way, there would be people being set free around us all over the place. You see, there is a secret there. The enemy wants us to keep things bottled up because he doesn't want freedom and he doesn't want you to impact other people to be free. See, courage to do these kind of things sets things free and in motion and brings a harvest and revival. And people finally start thinking, wait, I need to let this stuff go so I can focus on the future and my relationship with God. That was courageous. And again, I don't want you to just say, oh, yes. No, really, make time tonight, this week, to listen to that, because it really was a courageous, courageous act. I want to read about another story of courage in the Bible. If you'll turn to Esther, we know the story, Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. So Esther happens to be at the right place at the right time. Because Esther was trusting and obeying. She had a relationship with her God. She would repent and move on, and she knew the laws and would follow them to the best of her ability. And she was at the right place at the right time. As you know the story, the queen before her, she disobeyed, or she approached the king and wasn't supposed to, and was cast out. So now, Esther was in the right place at the right time. She becomes queen. And it just so happens that she's in a situation where she's risking her life. She's in a situation. She has to choose a path. And we pick up the story there because there's a plot to kill all of God's people. The Jews, there's a plot. And this is where we take up the story. Esther has to decide what to do. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter voice. Mordecai found out that there was a decree to kill all God's people. So he was stressed about that. In verse 2, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maid and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then she was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther, one of the king's chamberlains, and had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money and of Haman, and promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. So Mordecai, who is a Jew, understands now that there's a plot. And now he finds out what happened. And he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. So Mordecai has no other choice but to show Esther the decree that all of God's people are going to be killed. And he's going to tell Esther, you got to do something. And again, Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So Esther told Mordecai, look, if I go and he doesn't raise that scepter, I'm gone. So she's frightened. She's worried. She's scared for her own life. And he tells Mordecai this. And Mordecai, they told Mordecai these words from Esther. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You're also in danger, Esther. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise out of the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So Mordecai is telling her, hey, you remember when you were a little girl, a Jew? You remember there was an opportunity for you to go serve the kingdom? And there you were at the right place at the right time. And then the queen rebels against the king. And there you were at the right place at the right time. And then the king falls in love with you. And there you were in the right place at the right time. And then there's a decree for the Jews to be killed. And a Jew queen happens to be at the right place at the right time. You see, your life is not just something withering by chance, left or right. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. God knows what He's doing. He is not confused about your life. I know there's tough things that have happened. Well, there's a lot of tough things in this book that occurred. But every time, those who trusted their God saw God's hand move. And it's the same for you. It's the same for me. Don't ever lose heart that God has ever left you. Because He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's His word. You can trust it. So by chance, all of this did not happen by chance. Esther, all of these events in her life, there she is. And Mordecai is reminding her, you know, just maybe you were put there for such a time as this. No, maybe you were put here on this earth for that one soul to hear about God. But it takes courage. It takes courage to step out of the boat. It takes courage to step out of your comfort zone. It takes courage to let people in to those dark things in your life. It takes courage. And it hurts. And sometimes people betray you. And sometimes people don't keep secrets, that things that you had confided in them. Sometimes that happens. But it never changes that God's in control and He knows what He's doing. It never changes that you're destined to be at the right place at the right time. If you have that relationship, if you trust Him and obey Him, if you just repent and move on, you will be at the right place at the right time. And Esther was there, and Mordecai is saying, maybe this is why. And Esther bade them to return Mordecai and to say this: go gather together all the Jews that are present and fast for me. Don't eat, don't drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That's the definition of courage. Courage. Esther, the courageous woman. She meets both of these definitions of courage. Ability to do something that frightens her, and strength in the face of pain and grief. There are moments in time when we have to make courageous choices. As Mordecai states, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? She took a step. Courage. What are some of the acts that we as Christians can take to be courageous? Here's a few. Number one, some of you, most of you have already taken this courageous step to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That takes courage. Amen? So pat yourself on the back. Praise the Lord. It's not easy for people. And then we know that God is, the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals that truth to us. And praise the Lord. It took courage because you had to, the world, your friends will even make fun of you, your family. If you tell them, oh, I believe God's real and I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. And if I put Him first and I live for Him, I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven. And, you know, in family situations, they could laugh at you. Amen. It takes courage. Well, you're just like those religious that, you know, it takes courage. But you've done it. Maybe in the family settings or in other settings, you haven't yet got the courage to tell people that you have faith in Jesus. That's what this is about. Be courageous. Begin to pray for the Lord to give you courage. If someone says, how's it going? You know, since I accepted Jesus Christ in my life, it's going great. Not perfect, but I have hope. I have joy. Amen? It takes courage. Can you imagine telling that to one of your brothers? What are you talking about? But see, Jesus said, expect to be ridiculed. Jesus said it himself. They killed me, they'll ridicule you. Those things are to be expected. But it takes courage to start standing up. And see, one of the things the enemy tries to do to restrict your courage is he keeps reminding you how imperfect you are, or how faulty you are, how you haven't got it straight yet. Well, we kind of have covered that. None of us have gotten it straight. We're new in Christ Jesus, even when our sinful nature tries to creep up, but we never make excuses for sin. We repent and move on. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not his child or that you can't be courageous. Your family may start reminding you and friends about your past and your mistakes. And just, you know, there's no need to hide them. Admit them and say, Jesus is helping me. I need God. That's courage. So I want to challenge you in your environments at home and in work or at break or whatever you do at work, you know, be courageous. Let people know who you serve. Let people know why there's peace and joy in your life. Let people know that when you go through a trial that you stand firm because Jesus is with you. Courage. It takes courage for men to lead their families in the Christian ways. We need more men to lead their families. Amen? We need more men not to lead by dictatorship, but by example. By example. You know, I know there's situations in out there where families struggle. Sunday morning is always like the right, getting everybody ready, trying to get there on time, and all that happens. You know, I've heard that story many, many times from many, many different people. And I asked somebody one time, it was a while back, oh, missed you in church. Yeah, I couldn't get the family with it. What? Leave them behind. Go. You know, that will start speaking courage, right? Because you're taking a risk of causing, don't ever leave without me. Well, next time be ready, right? It takes courage, but you take a stand. You know, Pastor Green used to when he was pastoring and I was learning, he would run into different situations, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And he would run into situations where a family would tell him, hey, I'm not going to be in church today because I have family coming in. And I was like, so Pastor Green, how do you handle that? Well, I told him next time to bring the family with him to church. Take a stand, right? Take a stand. Or tell them, I'll be back after church. They'll know what's most important on Sunday morning. You see, courage. Oh, I don't want to get so-and-so up there. There are certain things where you just need, by taking a stand, what you're really doing is telling the world, this is important in my life. And that speaks more than words. That speaks 1,000 words. It's time for the church to be courageous. Here's another courage for single mothers to do whatever it takes to make sure their children are raised in church. Courage. Wow, that's powerful courage. And in not in individual cases, because I know some of you, it's not, but in general, you see more single mothers taking the courage, the struggles, the battles to take their children to church than you will see men leading their families. Amen? It's time for men to rise up and take courage and lead. Esther set a beautiful example. It takes courage for young people to stand up at school for Jesus. That takes courage. Oh, I remember being in high school. Well, it was something else. I can imagine if it's worse now or not. I don't know. But you got caught with a Bible and you get made fun of. Is it still the same now, young people? I don't know. Well, you haven't taken a Bible. Well, try it. See what happens. Take courage. Amen. It takes courage to stand up for Jesus. Amen. For anyone who's confronting a trial and you're trusting God and you can still rejoice in that trial, that's courage. It takes courage because you're putting your faith in God. Courage. Well, let's see what happened. Esther chapter 10, verse 1. Ask Michelle to come and get ready. We're going to close in a song. Esther chapter 10. What happened because of Esther's courage? Let's see. After everything's shaked out, you can go read the story on your own. And the king laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea and all the acts of his power and his might, and a declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. So Mordecai was lifted up, kind of second in command, because Esther took courage. If you begin, I hope you wrote something down, find out what that is for you. What is that where you need to stand up and take courage? There's different examples, but if each and every one of us stood up courageously and took the action, whatever it may be, the effect on other people will be exponential. You will see people coming to the Lord because you took courage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us what it means to take courage this day. Each and every one of us in this place, we have areas of weakness and we need to just take courage, be courageous, and we need to take it to God. We need to surrender. Lord, lead us, guide us in our path, in our Christian journey. Speak to us by your Spirit. Teach us where we need to be courageous and stand up and be strong. We receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the count of three,